Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and we're back with another great guest. Now, midfield maestros, they're gifted individuals who make the difficult things look easy. Players who dictate the tempo of games and entertain at the same time. Now, my guest fits that category like a glove. Now, I'm going to add more to this intro because the man deserves respect. My guest has played alongside greats of the game. I'm talking about Danny Blind, Edwin van der Sar, Sando Alize, the Nigerian, Johnny Method, Robin Richard-Vichka, and the De Boer twins. Understand the levels of royalty on this list, ladies and gents. Now, these are some of my guest achievements, but I'm going to let him tell you more. Dean Horry, welcome to Shoot the Defence, sir. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure, Dean. And your journey from the beautiful capital of Suriname to the northeast of England has been truly remarkable. Now, how were you discovered by SVV? And am I right in saying you actually played under Dick Advocaat there?
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. He's been my manager for 3 years.
Wow.
Obviously, in my teens, I was 18 when I started working under him as a player. And I tell you what, he was a tough man to deal with.
But I can imagine. I've heard some things
but
about him.
But I definitely needed it. He showed me what you need to be a professional.
All right.
And that's why I knew from since I worked with him that it's not going to be an easy ride. And it wasn't, but it was nice to be involved in a 17-year career.
Well, I tell you what, you know, he's had some career as a player and the manager. I mean, you say that you needed that kick up the backside, so to speak. Were you a bit naughty, Dean?
I wasn't really naughty, I'd say. But the thing is, you know, as a footballer, when you got technique, when you think you know it all, you need somebody to put you back in your place, because football is not about how good you are on the ball. It's about the whole package. And the package is you need to perform week in, week out. And to be able to perform week in, week out, you need to train as hard as you play. So, you know, the training regime had to be spot on. He didn't give me an inch. The way of life, you had to make sure that you don't, you know, go out too much, don't go partying and while you got games. And he made me aware of all these things. Make sure you eat well, prepare yourself. And every time he asks you a question, make sure you know the answer, because he was tough on you. You know, there's players out there, and there still is. If you ask him, who do you got next week, they don't even know. When Dick Advocaat asks you a question like, who are we playing next week? What kind of team is it? What formation they play? You make sure you know the answers to it, because he'll tell you, oh, you're busy with other stuff.
Absolutely. So very old school manager in the way. I mean, I kind of look at Rich Meekles in that kind of sense. So yeah.
Yeah, you need to live your life as a footballer, not live the life of a footballer.
Exactly.
Live your life.
Exactly. Well, they say a footballer's career could be a very short span. You know, sometimes you might get an injury and then that's it for the rest of your career, even though you might play.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
But you were lucky enough to play for two of the biggest clubs in the Netherlands between 92 and 99, namely Feyenoord and Ajax, and you won the title and Dutch Cup with both clubs.
Yes, there with both teams. I mean, and the cups as well.
You must have some superb memories there, mate.
Yeah. It was kind of special, because I'm from Rotterdam. I raised up in Rotterdam.
Okay.
So when I joined Feyenoord when I was 22 or 21, it was amazing to play for such a big club. In my first year, we won the league, and I scored some important goals to win the league as well, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing in European Cup 1, which is the Champions League now. with Feyenoord in a young age, you know, playing against Barcelona, scoring against Barcelona at a young age, which is fantastic, of course. You know, nobody can take that away from you.
Of course.
So it wasn't the beginning of my career. Beginning of career was SVV, was its first division club, where we got promotion with Dick Advocaat. And obviously then Feyenoord bought me, which is a big achievement, of course. When you're Rotterdam, you want to play for Feyenoord. And when I played for them, 3 years, I won one cup and two cups and one league title.
Amazing. And Ajax?
No, so after I found out, I went to FC Groningen.
Groningen, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I played every game there. For 2 years, I didn't miss a game, which was pretty special as well. No injuries, like a full 2 seasons, never missed a game. Scored, top scorer as well. Then Louis van Gaal signed me 4 years, gave me a 4-year deal with Ajax.
Wow.
Which was, of course, for me, like, unbelievable achievement. Coming from Feyenoord, go a step back into, like, a mid-table team, Groningen, and make the step up to Ajax. And then when you come to Ajax, you play with, you know, as you said, you know, the big players from Van der Sar, the Boer brothers. And then, of course, also Michael Laudrup, who was like, I played twice against him before that, against Real Madrid. And but he was like, when with Feyenoord we played against Real Madrid, I played against him man for man, and he was like unbelievable. So now I play with him at Ajax, which was great, you know. So in my first year again, we won the double. I was top scorer in the top in the cup. And was these players to play with at Ajax was just so nice and, you know, joy to play with.
I saw that Ajax team that won the Champions League with the likes of Cliver, you know, all the players like your Davids, your Seedorfs. I mean, Van Gaal.
They were unbelievable. Yeah. They were unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, when I that was in 97, 96. So I signed in 97. And
all of those players had left by then, hadn't they? A lot of them had left by then.
Yeah. So everybody's gone.
Yeah.
So that was a clear out. Yeah. It was like Winston Bogart, Clivert, David, Seedorf, all of them. They were gone. And they had to build a new team. And that's in that year, I think they bought the most players they ever did.
Mm.
It was always the homegrown players. In that season, they had to get, I think they got 10 new players in. Like Benny McCarthy, Shota Avalazzi, and then obviously Olise, Andre Rudi came from Germany. So I think 10 of us had to fit in. King Klatsi, remember King Klatsi? Georgi King Klatsi?
Of course, yeah. He left, didn't he leave Man City?
They bought him from Man City.
That's right. Because they got relegated to Division 2, I think, at the time when he left, wasn't it? Because, this is the thing. I mean, you play for great clubs, and even when, you know, superb players like Seedorf and them lot left, you still were playing alongside some pretty impressive footballers, you know, so...
Mate, we had to build it up, and still we won the double in that first year,
Blimey.
Which was amazing, you know, so...
Great memories, great memories.
So it was absolutely, you know, when I think back... And obviously, when I talk to my kids and we show, sometimes we go and see the videos on YouTube. It's a joy to watch, really.
I can imagine.
It's
unbelievable. And there was obviously the old stadium before Ajax moved to the new Amsterdam Arena, which has now been changed. They've changed it to the Johan Cruyff Arena, haven't they? I think they announced it a couple of
years. That's correct.
So yeah, it was the Demir Stadium, wasn't it, beforehand?
Yeah. That's correct.
That's pretty nice traditional football ground. I don't know how many players have moved to Huddersfield from Ajax. I mean, you're the only one I can, off the top of my head, I can think of now. How did that move come about? And did it help having the likes of Clyde Weinhardt and Moncao there?
Yeah, it did. Because I was, Jan Wouters was like he took over as Morten Olsen got sacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jan Wouters took over. And Jan Wouters had different ideas of players bringing in. So he got Aaron Winter back from...
Inter?
Yeah, okay. It was at Inter. So he got him back to Ajax. And Aaron and me played on the same similar position. And then he had another player from the academy he taught he wanted to bring through. So it left me stuck on the bench, really, and not even being involved. So, and I'm a player, I want to play, you know. You can't get me a worse Dean Gore sitting on the bench, you know, or not playing. So, and what happened is Steve Bruce was at Huddersfield, and he asked for me. And I never heard of Huddersfield Town in my life. So the person to ask is the person who played in England, which was Georgi Kinklatsi.
Right.
So okay. I said to Gio, I said, listen, what kind of club is Huddersfield? He said, well, they got a pretty new stadium.
Alfred McAlpine Stadium, yeah.
They play in the Championship, you know. So it's not a bad thing if you go there, because they're building a new team. So I said, okay, I'm not going to sign for them, but I'm going to watch and see what Huddersfield's got. So I went over. They invited me to come over. I flew over and watched the game. So obviously, when the game was there, Kenneth Monkau and Clyde Wynard were there already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a chat with them, and Clyde came from Leeds, and he said, yeah, it's pretty decent. You know, we're building up a team. Steve Bruce obviously persuaded me to come over. And I'm like, I saw the game, and I was like, no, definitely not. So I went back home. I said, no, I can't sign for this this club, you know. And Steve Bruce really wanted me. So he sold the club to me. He said, come over, we have a chat. And he invited me to his house in Hale. He said, listen, you can live in Manchester, which is a nice city. Your missus will like it. You know, here in Bowden, in Hale, where I live, around the restaurants, out to Manchester. The airport is close by, and it's not too far from Huddersfield.
Right.
So after a week, came back, showed me around, and then, yeah, he sold it to me. He said, you know, we're going to go up, we're going to go buy more players and this and that. So I got persuaded and, I signed for them. They bought me, and I jumped in, and I enjoyed it. I really liked it a lot. We had a good team. Marcus Stewart up front, Clyde Wynard, our midfield, Kenneth at the back. We had some good players at Huddersfield. And, you know, from the minute I came, the fans liked me. Top of the league with Christmas, you know, beating Man City, beating everyone. So it was a good start.
Absolutely. And you moved on to Barnsley after that, and you formed a great partnership off the field with Bruce Dyer. Now, before I talk about Bruce Dyer and your relationship with him, you played for Van Gaal and Dick Advocaat in Holland, in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And then you moved over to play for Steve Bruce. And then Barnsley, yes. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but that season, didn't you have like three different managers at Barnsley? Have I got that one wrong?
Yeah.
You had Speckman.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. Nigel Speckman was the one who got me in.
Yeah, and then Glyn Hodges and Steve Parkin. Now, when you've gone from two incredibly talented managers to someone up and coming like Steve Bruce, and then being hit hard with three different managers who were virtually inexperienced. How was that from like a cultural perspective? Because the Dutch pride themselves on fantastic football and technical ability and everything else, which embodies the you know, for the football world. And then you come across four managers that are completely different to what you're used to. How was that like?
Yeah, that was very, very eye-opener first.
Say the least.
And everything really what I stand for and what I learned and what how I got brought up in football, I could throw that away in the bin, because I couldn't use anything of that. Because what's been asked for me to do was nothing to do with what I've learned in football, unfortunately. Because if you look at the game, how it was, I mean, the Championship is a lot better now. But when I was in there, the Championship wasn't great. It was like really like... you could say League One, League Two is not great when it comes to football-wise. It's getting better as well. Everything is getting better. But it's a, you know, it's a hustle-bustle football.
Yeah.
You know, get it up there, second balls, channels. And, you know, the ones who scored that goal wins, you know, and it's a fight the whole game.
Mm.
And I'm not brought up like that. So it was difficult. It was difficult, especially when the managers ask you to do things. You know, one of the managers asked me to, after a game, he came like, he said to me, You know why I don't play you? Because you don't win enough headers in midfield.
I can't help.
And I thought, I never won a header in my life when I played Champions League. You know, is that maybe not enough? You know, I scored against Barcelona, I scored against Real Madrid. Can I not play against Rotherham, you know, in midfield? And only I'm not playing because I don't win headers in midfield, you know? So that sort of things, you know, it's like, wow. When you tell somebody he doesn't believe you in Holland, why I, you know, make the step to the Championship, really, in that sort of football.
Mm. But again, it
happens, and it's a learning curve. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for anything, because as much as you don't like the style of football sometimes, it's fascinating how much fun it is. You know, how much fun they have watching it.
Mm. Oh, of course, from it's the entertainment. Man,
because there's always something happening. It's spectacular.
That's right. Now, I understand you lived in Bruce Dyer's spare room as your family were in Cheshire. What was that like?
That's correct, yeah, because obviously my wife would never go to live in Barnsley with me. With all respect for Barnsley, but she is somebody that needs to be in a big city.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, coming from Amsterdam, she wouldn't want to go follow me around and go into a small place. So she wanted to have something vibrant, which is Manchester. But Bruce Dyer, he lived in Barnsley. So, yeah, every time I had the chance, I stay up with him, and I had a room there. But one of the things, the reason why I stayed in his room, because his wife is a fantastic cook. If she cooks for you, I mean, you don't want to go home. So she's got to be a chef one day because she can cook.
What was your favorite meal?
No, when she just like the Jamaican style dishes, right. What she makes. Doesn't matter what she makes. She makes it nice.
Excellent.
She makes a nice fish soup, or she makes nice chicken soup, and she makes nice curry goat, whatever. You know, she's good. And I enjoy that. I was like, ah, see you later. I might stay up this today and tomorrow and the day after. And it was good fun because me and Bruce we're like good friends, and we still are, you know.
That's brilliant.
It's great. It's a great time.
That's absolutely brilliant. Well, Dean, I mean, I deliberately left out a few facts in the intro. You have your coaching badges and spent time at Southampton coaching the likes of Lallana and Jack Cork. And you also coached at Ajax alongside Johan Cruyff. I've got so many questions. Obviously, there's so little time. I'm going to ask you a two-part open question, though. What were those experiences like, and how much did you learn?
To work with Johan?
Yeah, both at Southampton as well, because they've got an incredible academy, don't they?
Yeah. Okay. But that was a different style of. Obviously, that was first team.
Hmm.
But let's start with Southampton because I was there first. Southampton was like experience because we had like young players like Lallana coming through. Jack Cork was there. Andrew Sermon. You know, we had like good young players who were like, you know, loving the game. And Lallana was on a different level to anyone else in the team. My opinion, and to work with him every day as a youngster playing the Championship was wonderful, and the coaching you do with them, it's, you know, the better players you can coach, the more fun it is.
Yeah,
because every session you do, it's like the intensity, the quality, everything makes the football and the coaching nicer. You know, everything you tell him, he picks up quick. He wants to learn. He wants to do extras. So yeah, we've done a lot of extras as well. You know, and he used to love doing them. And that was a great experience, you know. Unfortunately, it wasn't long enough. It was only 6 months. But it was good fun. It was good fun. And when I went to Ajax, obviously that was quite special because it was Dennis Bergkamp and Brian Roy. They phoned me and asked me if I wanted to come and start this revolution with Johan Cruyff. And they wanted to take Ajax back to where they belong. Ajax came, went to a spell where they didn't create any top players anymore. It was like, you know, players were, young players were leaving the club and going to PSV and Feyenoord and different clubs. While I, if somebody comes, you want to play for Ajax, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was like, you know, players were doubting Ajax. And Johan said, we have to take that back, that, you know, that we are the best. So I got the phone call, and if I want to do the under-18s, which I did. And Johan is a special kind of guy. Unbelievable. He's you can sit and listen to him the whole day, because the way he talks about football, he's a football man. The way he talks about football is so simple and so beautiful, and that's why I can see Pep Guardiola is like Johan. He doesn't give a toss who you are, where you are. As long as you believe in something, you make sure you do it. And I've been fighting for Pep Guardiola last year, every game he played. Every time there was a discussion. He's arrogant. He can play that football in this league. Who does he think he is? All these things they said about Pep. And I was constantly defending him. He doesn't have his players yet. What way did he get his players? He'll do what he got to do. He believes in what he does, and not only believes in it, he keeps to it. He's not going to change it. His goalkeeper is just a center defender. He's just a player, and that's what Johan said from the beginning when he started coaching at Ajax. He started with the goalkeeper being an outfield player, and that's what Pep is doing. Pep his, because I spoke to the people at Man City as well. Pep his whole football is changed by Johan Cruyff, and I can understand why, because the way he spoke to us as coaches, because don't forget he got like 10 of us in. He's got like Bergkamp, De Boer, Wim Jonk, Jaap Stam, Overmars, Brian Roy. He got all 10 of us in to run the academy for him. And he said nobody's the boss. Obviously, there need to be a boss on the paper, but everybody got to work with each other, and with each other, we had to make a new Ajax Bible,
which we did,
and I was involved with that, and we made it like the ultimate Ajax players on every position. What do the how do we need to create them? And we made that Bible, and start creating again. From the beginning, you know, as you know, we do academy is a 10-year. After 10 years, you can see the results, really.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a joy to work. I mean, imagine you're a 10-year-old boy and you work with people like Dennis Bergkamp in training. Mm-hmm. You know, Jaap Stam, Overmars. You know, that sort of people are coaching you. That's what you would want as a young player, and that what happened. You know, with an individual coaching on positions with players who done everything in football on their position, and then you get coached by them every day, which is great, and that's what made Ajax great again.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a fallout between, was it Overmars and Bergkamp? I think Bergkamp has left Ajax, yeah. Hasn't he?
Correct.
But the thing is, when you look at the, I mean, I've done the tour of the arena twice actually,
yeah.
And when you look at their structure, they've got a youth academy that I think was it. 10 youth academies or something, but between the ages of 7 to 13 or something like that. 13
yeah.
youth teams.
Yeah.
And they start at 7 years old, and they're so encouraged to play football. I mean, I know all about the TIPS model.
Yes.
And you know, obviously 4-3-3 is their central style of play, so to speak. But then when you go to the ground and you look outside, there's a little pitch for kids to kick a ball about. So football is constantly encouraged, and they're actually encouraged to play without being tied up, so to speak. There's no how can I put it? They're not restricted as to what they can and can't do. They're just given the ball and say, right, play. Yeah. Just play. Because you know, that is effectively how kids learn. It's a street style.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Guardiola being heavily influenced by Johan Cruyff. I know Cruyff had a massive influence at La Masia. I guess that's where...
Heavy.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. There you go. So yeah. I mean, you can see the similarities, mate. But
it's and that's why I wanted to say, because when I see Pep now and everybody's talking different now. Well, forget about yesterday mm-hmm. against Liverpool, but if you see now what he did and what he does, it's just incredible. The way he plays, you think, is he crazy to let the goalkeeper place 1-2s and little triangles in his own 18-yard box? Mm. That's Johan all day long. You know, what other manager would like to, his goalkeeper to do little triangles in his 18-yard box?
Well, it wasn't the Colombian manager of the 1990 World Cup with René Higuita running out.
Yeah. But I mean, be honest. Who would do that?
I don't think anyone
would have the balls to do that.
You're probably right. And I guess that's what makes his style of play much more effective and much different to what we're used to.
And it's beautiful to watch. It's beautiful. I find it beautiful to watch.
Well,
they dominate possession and win games.
And
like
they're dominating games as well. I mean, as you said, apart from last night, but they're dominating games. If you look at the Premier League, I mean, it's practically done and dusted now. You know, so
December. And then they play the same away as home.
Yeah.
You think if they play Man United, it's like who plays home and who plays away?
Exactly.
Like Man City's always plays at home.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Except for yesterday.
Stranger things have happened in football. You never know what might happen in the second leg, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look. If you look at the Scottish and Dutch national teams, they have a couple of things in common. Neither have qualified for the World Cup, and they're in transition now. Both have quality youngsters breaking through, but they obviously need time to develop. Now, you know a lot about both youth setups. I mean, how much work needs to be done to get them at a respectable level again?
That's a hard question to answer. You know, I've got my ideas, of course. One, to start with the Dutch kids.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have a problem now is that our players go too young abroad.
Right.
So when they come 15, 16, let's say our best talents in Holland leave when they're 15, 16. Effect. They go to Chelsea, Man United, Man City, Liverpool, whoever takes them. So when they go to these clubs, that means they miss a very, very important time of their development, where they could play in a first team football and they play like under 18s or even under 23s,
mm-hmm.
where they would play a first team in Holland. And first team football is where you learn the most of your game. There's still players, even with my own son, I can see it. He hasn't got a lot of first team experience, but he's already 23.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very good player, but still playing 23 football. And it's very difficult to play Premier League when you're in the Premier League club
mm-hmm.
to play in the first team. When a player is young and he would have played in Holland, he would have had maybe 200 games under his belt while he's only 21.
Right.
So that will make a different player. So when he's there, 21, 22, then he goes abroad, then it's still okay. Because then he's a different player. But when he starts in the England setup and he won't get first team games, everything is later. So you don't develop to the top player what you would have been developed if you were in Holland.
Right.
Because you needed that important time, you know. So that's one of the biggest reasons in my idea that why we still have good players, but I'm talking about the top players. Because every top player in Holland have their career first in Holland on the top and then make the step at maybe 24, 25 years old to a big company in a big club in Europe.
I fully agree with you.
Yeah, and now all the rest is already gone when they're 15, 16.
Mm. So what do you make of Ronald Koeman's chances of turning things around? Because, look, I mean, you've mentioned in the past, in fact, earlier on in the show about players that, you know, need to become footballers before they're worried about their celebrity status. I mean, I'm talking about Memphis Depay here, who's a very, very talented footballer, but he just seems that, I don't know, maybe his head isn't screwed on from a playing perspective. I mean, we've seen it time and time again with talented footballers not making it to the levels that they should. I mean, look at Revel Morrison, for crying out loud. Absolutely fantastic talent.
He's the best in the world,
He's incredible, but now he's playing in Mexico. You know, Mexico, so what is going on with the Dutch national team? Because I've heard stories about, you know, very similar to the FA, where it's kind of like an old boys club, and once the powers that be at the Dutch Federation go, things might change. Do the problems stem from the top, or are we talking about more of a fundamental thing, like you said before, about youngsters not playing in the Dutch league or the Eredivisie and then just going off elsewhere first?
I think it's the quality.
Right.
It's the quality of the players. As I said, the quality you get the quality in players from their development, from and where they're going to end up to. The quality and the talent is there, but when you talk about the players that make the difference. So we always had players that made the difference on the highest level in the world. Always. And international football, you need players in your team that make the difference. They have to be world class. And players were world class. The last one we had was Arjen Robben.
Right.
And maybe Robin van Persie. Wesley Sneijder. Yeah. These were the top world-class players, and there's a lot of names I can call out for you before that. But now in this national team, the world-class players who can make the difference, we haven't got them.
Mm.
We haven't got them. You can say, okay, Van Dijk, he's a world-class defender. Yes, he's very good. Virgil van Dijk at Liverpool, but. If you look at the players who have to make the difference, like your Marco van Basten, Ruud Gullit, your Seedorf, or your Patrick Kluivert, who's going to make the difference? It should be Memphis Depay. That's one of the players that should be the Arjen Robben for the national team. But unfortunately, he's not on that level. So there is now now the discussion is who's going to take that role of being the superstar for Holland, for the Dutch national team, because you need superstars to come to the level of the world stars.
That's right. I mean, there's players such as, you know, Justin Kluivert, who obviously his dad was a remarkable footballer, but he's 18 years old. He's going to need time, isn't he?
Don't let him go too quick. He's still got a few years at Ajax to get him to the right level, and then he will be world class, hopefully.
Exactly, and then you've got the likes of like Timothy Fosu-Mensah at United, who's done extremely well at Crystal Palace. He's a phenomenal talent, I think. And then obviously De Vrij at Lazio, and we weren't talking about the £2 million that kind of went to some fraudsters. I don't know if you know about that story, but some fraudsters emailed Lazio saying they still owe £2 million, and Lazio actually sent that money over to them, thinking that it was final. Even the best get dupes. Anyway, but you're right. You know, I mean, look, before in the past,
When it comes to that level, you need to look at the superstars.
Yeah,
you know, Gareth Bale does it for Wales. You know, everything is. You know, the don't take anything away from the players who play with him, but one is going to make the difference. That's him.
That's right.
In Holland, the Dutch national team at the moment, we haven't got that superstar.
We should have
maybe two or three.
No, I agree. And even the under 21s is made up of Ajax, PSV, and AZ Alkmaar players. So speaking of the Dutch national team, I don't mean to take up too much of your time, but. When you look at their achievements at international level, you know, they got to three World Cup finals, losing all three, and then winning the European Championships in 1988. I cannot, for the life of me, put my finger on why they haven't won more at international level. Have they just been unlucky, or have they just come across teams that are just better than them?
No, I think it's also a bit unlucky, and on the other hand, well, Spain, you know, in the final was maybe, it was better than Holland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spain deserved it, you know. We had the chance to win it, you know, with Arjen Robben in South Africa, but Spain was just fantastic. They had just they deserved to win the final. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one to say, you know. It's there's so many big nations and good football teams. And Holland, yeah, it's unfortunate we never won one. Mm. Very, very unfortunate.
Absolutely. Well, on a final note, mate, talk to me about Trussocks. I mean, I hear people like Luis Suarez, Gareth Bale, Falcao, and even Alexis Sanchez are using the product. What is it about Trussocks? Tell me.
Well, Trussocks is something else. You know, that is like the owner, the creator of Trussocks is a good friend of mine who moved from America to England. And he is, he just, for his own benefit, because he didn't like movement in a shoe, like every one of us.
Yeah.
That's why we take, you know, small shoes to make sure we don't have movement in our shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get blue toenails and stuff like that, which is terrible. but yeah, you always take a size or half a size smaller than what you normally have. And he actually, what he did, I put glue and double-sided tape in my shoes. That's what I'd done when I was playing. And he actually came one day and he said to me, I've got this, and the other, and I've got this product which has got, you know, stopped the movement of your foot. And I said, what is it? And he said, I've got anti-slip material inside and outside the sock. So that means when you're outside the sock is against the shoe. And inside, your foot is stuck against the sock. So there's actually no movement anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything sticks.
Right, okay.
And it actually works because the material works in wet and dry conditions the same. Actually, when it's a bit wet, it works even better. So when he told me that, I said, I want to try it. Because if you got that, then it's like unbelievable. So I tried it, and it was like something I missed in my career. and he was actually clever. He patented. So he's actually the only one in the world who can use anti-slip material in and outside the sock.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody can use inside the sock. Everybody can use outside the sock. But nobody can do in and out. That's his patent.
Wow, okay. Interesting.
So when he came to England, he rented a house. Actually, still now across the road from me. So we live in the same street, and I start working for him as a consultant. Start giving the socks to the whole Dutch national team and the Brazilian national team and all the top players in the world. So in the first year, we made only 2-3 players wearing the socks. We had like 80 players in the World Cup in Brazil, like no more 98 or something, 98 players wearing the socks, and we were in Brazil just giving the socks to all the players. And up to last year, so I worked 4 years for him now. And last year, or a year and a half, nearly 2 years ago, he got an offer from Nike for $40 million.
Wow.
To sell the company. and he turned it down.
Well, if Nike are offering 40, then it's probably worth treble that.
Yeah. But he turned it down. And we're still working. I'm still working for him. And, you know, everybody still wears the socks. We never paid anyone to wear the socks, and everybody loves it because this is actually a product that really works. It's not a gimmick. It's no marketing tool. It's a real thing that works with any sport what you do. It works because any movement in your sock, every slippage creates all sorts of problems.
Mm.
And this makes that you know, doesn't matter what size boot you wear, even if you wear two sizes bigger, you don't move in your shoe, you know, and that's something special, really.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Dean, look, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, mate. Thank you very much for your time. It'll be great to have you back on sometime soon. You're on
Twitter. Yeah, no problem, anytime.
You're on Twitter, aren't you? At Dean Gorham.
Yes, I am.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And yeah, thank you so much for your time. Are you going to get back into coaching sometime soon, or are you going to?
I coach every day.
Okay.
Every day.
Okay.
I've got a team here. I coach Edgerton, I started doing it with Jim from True Socks.
Okay.
We training. Me and him were training every day just to keep ourselves fit. And Emil Heskey, Jalen Samuel, Nathan Ellington, Danny Weber. We had so many players come and join us in training.
Oh, wow.
That we eventually, also young players, players that got out of, didn't get a scholarship or a pro, they come and train with me. Like also like Ravel Morrison, when he's in the country, he trains with me.
Wow.
My own son trains with me. It's like, we got like 30, 40 players that come and train him. What happened is they asked me to take over the team, the first team. So I got some boys from Moss Side here that want to join the team. So at the moment we are second in the league, and we're looking to win it, you know. So yeah, that's what I'm doing every day. Training. Still coaching and working, of course, with my other stuff.
You know you never lose the love for the game, mate, and I applaud you for that.
Absolutely not. I just keep going, and this is what makes me tick.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Shoot the Defense. Until next time, take care.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.